There is a word from the Lord this morning found in the book, New Testament, the New Testament book of 1 John. I see John and I automatically want to say the gospel, same writer. New Testament book of 1 John. Chapter number 1, verses 5 through 10. And Fred, thank you so much for leading us in the first four verses of this chapter. It will catapult us into our message. This morning, I just want to read one verse into your hearing, that being 1 John, chapter number 1, verse 6. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. Here's how my Bible reads. 1 John chapter number 1, verse 6 reads, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Family, I'd just like to speak briefly this morning from this subject, walking in the light of fellowship. Walking in the light of fellowship. Oh, for sure you've seen it before, maybe several times. That person comes out to the church and seem to have a good time. And maybe even show up a few more weeks in a row. And we get that feeling on the inside. We say, wow, the Lord has sent somebody new to our church. This is amazing. And we just kind of watch and we began to pray, Lord, open their hearts. Allow them to come and join this, our fellowship, is our prayer. Interestingly, that person finally says, you know what? I believe the Lord is speaking to me. I'm going to join that church. Then that new church member, eager to participate in fellowship, he goes to the pastor and he asks the most poignant question. He says, Pastor, what's the biggest sin I should be concerned about in this church? Pastor smiles and just looks at him and says, the one you haven't confessed. Somebody will get that when you're driving home. The one you haven't confess. In this account, 1 John, I want us to look at what the Lord describes as true Christian fellowship. True Christian fellowship. When we look at this passage, the first thing I see is the revelation of fellowship's incompatibility with corruption. The relationship of fellowship's incompatibility with corruption. It's right there in verse number 5. Teresa, and what this speaks to, this speaks to the fact that it destroys all demands for an alternative standard. It destroys all demands for an alternative standard. Let's look what the Bible says there in 1 John chapter number 1, verse 5. This is the message which we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Gigi, I would say that that's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing because let us consider the details of this message. Number one, first of all, let us consider the son of the message. The son of the message is none other than Jesus the Christ. Fred, oh, thank you for reading those first verses. If you go back and look at our passage, go and look at those first few verses that Fred read for us. And we read responsibly what was from the beginning. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes. This is all referencing Jesus Christ, by the way. What we have looked at and touched with our hands. I could imagine Thomas feeling about this. Concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested. And we have seen and testified and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I like the way John puts it in his gospel. In chapter number 8, right around verse 12, he records what he had seen and heard the word of life, the Lord Jesus Christ, say to him. Look at what it says. Jesus speaking, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus Christ is the son of the message. But then also we have the subject of the message. Who is the subject of the message? It's none other than God the Father. Look at it there in verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him, Jesus Christ, and announce to you that God is light. God is the subject of the message. Well, not only the son of the message. How you doing, brother? So good to see you and your family. I could not wait until service was over to tell you that. Not only do we have the son of the message, not only do we have the subject of the message, but what is, Larry, what then is the substance of the message? It's right there. You didn't see it? Here's the substance of the message. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. At all. Not even a smidgen for it. Here's the interpretation. God exposes man's sin and condemns man's sin. Listen to it again. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God exposes man's sin and condemns man's sin. I like the way the Apostle Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter number 16 and verse 14 says, or what fellowship has light with darkness? In other words, the true and living God does not abide in fellowship with sin. God exposes man's sin. God condemns man's sin. And he does not change. He does not change. This is that attribute of God that theologians refer to as God's immutability. You know, we get that word mutation, change. Something mutates, it changes. Speaks of the immutability of God. God does not change. And family, God is the unchanging standard, and there is no other. God is the standard. God is the unchanging standard, and there is no other. I like the way John puts it in chapter number 14, verse 6. Recording what he had seen and what he had heard. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the standard. Oh, I've heard it so many times. Preached in a myriad of arenas. You guys know that your pastor did 9 years in the Marine Corps. I heard it as a Marine. I've been 17 years with the Houston Police Department. I've heard it as a police officer. And I have been on a serious level in church leadership somewhere around 14 or 15 years on a serious level. I heard it in the church. Here's what it sounds like. The Marine goes out and get in trouble. They have a press conference, if you will. Now, you know this stuff don't get out publicly. Well, Marine, you know we hold our Marines to a higher standard around here. I heard it on the police department. You know, the officer goes out and he's driving and crashes, you know, whatever he does. Not doing what he should be doing, and he makes some kind of mistake. Charles, you would know something about this. And they pull you in and they have a press conference. Now, this time it does get out to the public. And you hear the chief stand up there and say, well, you know, here at such and such department, we hold our officers to a higher standard. Oh, I've heard it at church. Haven't y'all seen how many pastors have been getting in trouble? Not just pastors, church leaders, elders, all the way across the board. Well, you know, here at such and such church, we hold our leadership to a higher standard. When are we going to stop that foolishness? What standard is higher than God Almighty? It does not matter what arena of your life is. If you messed up, you sinned against the one true and living God. Amen. And it is to him that you have failed. Amen. And him alone. There is no higher standard. If you're a Christian and you want fellowship with God, forget about the world standards. And don't let nobody tell you that it's some kind of highest. No, it's the word of God. Amen. I like the way Colossians chapter number 2, verse 9 and 10 puts it. For in him, Jesus, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And still does, might I add. And in him, you have been made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. Amen. If we're going to have true fellowship with Christ, if we're going to have true fellowship with the Father, if we're going to have true fellowship with one another, Christ is the only and unchanging standard. Amen. It's an amazing thing. I believe Thomas Obadiah Chisholm got it right when he penned that illustrious hymn. Listen to it. Great is thy faithfulness. O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. That's about four lines to say the same thing. You deal with your God, I'm going to stick with my God, the unchanging God. If we're going to enjoy Christian fellowship, number one, we must receive the revelation of fellowship's incompatibility with corruption. It destroys all demands for an alternative standard. But secondly, we must receive the resolution of fellowship through consistency. The resolution of fellowship through consistency. It's right there in verse 6 and 7. And what this speaks to, this says that specifically true fellowship crushes all claims that immoral living is congruent with godly fellowship. Now, why is that important? Because if you ain't careful, you'll go walk right up in some church, you know, they got the sign outside, they got the steeple up and the cross, and you walk in and they call God a liar from the pulpit. Because they tell you, you can live anyway. Oh, come on in. We'll receive you. Don't worry about your sin. It's okay. We're confirming. We're affirming. You can pet that sin, sit right on the front row, serve on our board of directors. May it never be. Crushes all claims that immoral living is congruent with godly fellowship. It's right there in verses 6 and 7. If we're going to get a series of if-then statements that's going to carry us throughout this text, okay? Here we go. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and that syntactically, I would argue, is God the Father. However, you could put Jesus Christ in there. I wouldn't argue against it. But this is not us. This is God. If we say that we have fellowship with God, with him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, that's the reason why I said it was God, cleanses us from all sin. It's an amazing thing. Let's break that down. First of all, we have that wonderful little preposition there. If our profession contradicts our practice, then our word is false and we avoid the light because we love our sinful lifestyles. Can't have it both ways. Can't have it both ways. John chapter number 3. Verse 19 through 21, listen to this. This is Jesus speaking. This is John testifying from the word of life of what he heard and what he saw from Jesus. This is the judgment, Jesus speaking, that the light has come into the world. Speaking of himself, Jesus said, I'm here, and men love their darkness rather than the light. For their deeds were evil. In other words, there was a day that when people live any kind of way, no, I don't want to have nothing to do with Jesus. I'm good. You, Jesus, go ahead and change the world. I'm good over here. You know why? Because I actually like my sin. I'm going to stay where I'm at. I'm good. Today they go in church and they're told they can have it both ways. It's an amazing thing. For everyone who does evil hates the light. This is the reality of the one that's serving on the board, that's living any kind of way. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought by God. If our profession contradicts our practice, then our word is false. Secondly, if our profession is confirmed by our practice, then we enjoy fellowship amongst one another and dwell in the light. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse 16. Read 15b and 16. It says, he who is the blessed and the only sovereign, speaking of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. Somebody said that's a good place to say amen. If our profession contradicts our practice, then our word is false. If our profession is confirmed by our practice, then we enjoy fellowship. Do me a favor. Close your eyes real quick. I want you to think about something. Not out loud, Foy. To yourself. Think about this. What areas of your life have crashed and burned because you profess to be a Christian, but your walk was a total contradiction? In other words, your profession was antithetical to your possession. That's scary, ain't it? Thanks be to God that he has brought us out of the darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus the Christ. Fred, if we're going to enjoy true fellowship, can't overlook the revelation of fellowship's incompatibility with corruption. Can't live any kind of way. Destroys all demands for an alternative standard. One standard, Christ alone. We can't avoid the resolution of fellowship through consistency. We can't do this one day and on this day do something totally different. Larry, would you respect me if every time you saw me, I was different? I wouldn't respect myself if every time I looked in the mirror, I looked different. I wonder what's going on. Crushes all claims that immoral living is congruent with godly fellowship. But then thirdly, are you interested? The restoration, I love that word, the restoration of fellowship through confession. What do you mean restoration? Sometimes we mess up and we need to get it right. We serve a God who's already cooked into it a process for restoration. That's why we love them. Restoration of fellowship through confession. It's right there in verses 8 and 9. And what this speaks to, this actually debunks the myth. Get this. It debunks the myth that you must be sinless to enjoy fellowship with God. Let me tell you right now, as the pastor of this church, that is nothing more than a position, a title. I am a man. Do not ever look at me and think that I'm sinless. If you do, find Larry, Fred, or Chris, and they'll tell you something crazy I did last week. I am not sinless. And Clovis, I wouldn't let nobody fool me into thinking that I need to be sinless to have fellowship, but I have a way to get it right with God. Let's look what it says here, right in verse 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The juxtaposition, verse 9 and of verse 8. Listen, when I first decided I'm going to take ownership of my faith and I decided to get in the Word of God, I want to learn what God has to say to us. And I started reading the Bible. I came across this verse, this chapter number 1, 1 John. I said, I don't know what this means. This is confusing. That's why we're preaching it today. That's why we're preaching today. Let me break that down. The restoration of fellowship through confession. Another if-then statement. If our profession contradicts our nature. Not I'm professing something that I don't possess. That was before. Here, I'm professing something that goes against my own nature. What do you mean, Pastor? Let's break it down. If our profession contradicts our nature. I don't got no sin. Then we deceive ourselves and the truth of Christ is not in us. What is truth? Truth is whatever conforms to the mind of Christ. We have the truth unequivocally in the Word of God. What does the Word of God have to say about our nature? That's a good question, Wayne. Psalm chapter number 51. Psalm 51. Are y'all putting those on the board up there? Oh, yeah, I love it. Psalm 51. Y'all give them a hand. Psalm 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. God says we got a sin nature. And if your nature is sin, how you going to sit up and say you ain't got no sin? If our profession is consistent with truth, in other words, yes, God, what you said is true. And I'm going to act like, I'm going to speak that what you said is true. Yes, I'm a sinner. If our profession is consistent with truth, then our confession, that's what confession is. Agreeing with God about what God had to say about us. Our confession renders us sinless in God's eyes. Sinless in God's eyes through the blood of his son. Look at that last part of verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We're not sinless. We're sinless in the eyes of God because he looks at us and sees his son. It's an amazing thing. Truth is whatever conforms to the mind of Christ. Confession is, God, I agree with your word that I am a sinner, and I'm counting on you for total forgiveness and cleansing. People call me all the time. Chris will tell you, Pastor, can I meet with you? Yes, let's meet. Get in there in the office. The door get closed. Chris is sitting in there. They tell me, Pastor, I got this such and such going on in my life. I want to confess that I've done this thing. What do I do next? I said, well, you just told me you did this thing and you confessed it to God. Yeah, yeah, but now what do I do? I said, you need to count on God's cleansing and count on his forgiveness. Am I God? God don't cleanse you of that thing. Why you don't pick it back up and walking with it? Amen. Listen to me. One of the most powerful things I'm going to say today, besides Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you put your faith and trust in him, he'll give you eternal life. Check this out. When you confess your sin to Jesus Christ, to God through this Son, the Bible says what God is going to do. Next step is for you to believe him. Amen. Well, Pastor, what does the Bible say God's going to do? Boy, I'll read it for you again. I'm just messing with you for it. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, then he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most of our unrighteousness. And that's the way we act. That ain't what it say, Clovis, is it? It says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. People ask me all the time, man, how did you get to be have this strong faith? I said, I start believing God at his word. What does that mean? It means I start believing God at his word. If you think it's some kind of special thing that you can do in some kind of way, elevate you and get you to the next dimension. If it ain't believing God at his word, it'll never happen. Amen. Just this week, as a matter of fact, today is Sunday morning. Friday, I've had a long, my week has seemed long. I was just sharing with Chris. I said, my week feels long because Friday I went to work. And I worked for the city of Houston. I didn't do a whole lot. Don't tell nobody. But I went. And I worked 8 hours. And after those 8 hours, I ran home, got a shower, got changed. And me and my beautiful bride, we took off. Your pastor had an opportunity to speak at a retreat, couples retreat. And the theme of the retreat was restoration. And I got to open it up on the first day. They're still there right now. They close up around noon. But I had an opportunity to speak. And I went in and I preached the gospel. And when I got done preaching the gospel, something amazing happened. The one who put on the retreat, when I got done preaching, she said, listen, the Lord spoke to me. When Pastor Orr preached, the Lord spoke to me. Here's what we're going to do. She brought out a little futon, the thing you kind of put your feet on. And she said it out front. She said, everybody here is going to get up and going to come and sit on here. And we're going to have a period of repentance and prayer. So we're going to pray to God and we're going to repent. We're going to repent for ourselves. We're going to repent on behalf of our families, our friends. We're going to repent on behalf of our nation, our city. This is going to be a powerful time of repentance. Y'all wouldn't believe what happened. God came in that place. God came in that place like, now I was spent when I got done preaching. And all of a sudden, I started hearing those prayers of repentance, and I had an opportunity to repent and pray. And I just felt like a load was lifted off of me. What we did was we sat down and we confessed to God. And when we got up, the things that we had confessed, they stayed there. That's how it felt for me. It was an amazing thing. And Natasha recognized, she knew that praising God while petting our sin would not fly. She said, we got to repent. It was William McDonald who said, quote, rejoicing cannot coexist with unconfessed sin. Still, I love the way James Montgomery Boyce summed it up. Quote, if you learn nothing else from this prophecy, at least learn this lesson. Sin has consequences. Unconfessed sin has eternal consequences. Hold your horses, Fred. If we're going to have that fellowship, that true Christian fellowship, can't overlook the revelation of fellowship's incompatibility with corruption. Destroys all demands for an alternative standard. The resolution of fellowship through consistency crushes all claims that immoral living is congruent with God. In other words, you can live any kind of way and still serve God. That's a lie. The restoration of fellowship through confession. If you do mess up, it debunks the myth that you must be sinless to enjoy fellowship with God. No, you don't. Just got to know how to pray. Fourthly and finally, the renunciation of fellowship apart from confession. Verse 9 was the juxtaposition of verse 8. Look at your Bibles. Verse 10 is the juxtaposition of verse 9. Yeah, you can have fellowship and true fellowship and be restored if you confess. But what if you don't confess? You renounce your fellowship. You renounce your fellowship. It's right there in verse 10. And what this does, this silences all suggestions that fellowship with God makes one perfect. Even as I'm preaching to you today, I ain't close to perfect. Look at it right there. It's in verse 10a. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned. Let's just stop right there. Not that we don't have no sin, because earlier verse 8 said, if we say we have no sin. Like right now, I'm clean. I got no sin. Verse 10 says, if we say that we ain't never sinned. If our profession contradicts not our possession, if it contradicts truth, then we have become certified delusional. The person that says they have not sinned is delusional. Now, here's what you don't do. You don't do what the world would suggest that we do. Oh, come here, precious. Oh, come here, baby. You're right. You haven't sinned. We don't affirm that thing. In other words, Chris, when you encounter a delusional person, you don't then come along that person and pet them and say, yeah, you're not delusional. You're right. I ain't been pastoring long, but I've never had somebody come to me and say they ain't never sinned. I really hope they don't come to me. I say, you came to the wrong person. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. What we're doing if we say that we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse 20 says, indeed, there is not a righteous man on earth who continually does good and who never sins. And some teaching out there right now will tell you, oh, you just get more into the spirit and baptize in the spirit a little more holy and you will stop sinning. That's a lie. Your next question should be, am I going to stop living? We're calling God a liar and we're declaring ourselves to be the light. And that's a dangerous position. That's a dangerous position. I'm on my way to my seat. One last question. How do you think God feels about us calling him a liar? How do you think God feels about us just calling him a liar? What do you think God has to say about us calling ourselves the light? What do you think God has to say about man calling ourselves the light? I'll tell you. Better yet, how about I let him tell you? Romans chapter number 2, right around verse 19. And if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, the very thing we're talking about today, y'all, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of children, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? While you preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that one must not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, dishonor God by breaking the law. And here's the kicker. For it is written, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Fellowship. God, I never knew you had so much to say about fellowship. Can I just lay home and eat bun buns and listen to a sermon or two? I read a couple of verses here. Ain't that enough for you, God? And yet Christian fellowship is such a big thing to God. Father, help us to love the things that you love. Father, help us to hate the things that you hate. Father, help us to do that with some level of consistency. Help us to love the things you love. You love fellowship, fellowship amongst the brothers. Fellowship with God the Father. Fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. You love this, Father. Help us to love it with consistency. Every Sunday morning, I can't go play golf. I can't ride my Harley Davidson. I don't care about the scenic routes. I got to go to church. I got to give God the worship that do His name. I have to be there for my sister or my brother who needs someone to lean on. I have to help bear their burdens. I got to give to the work that's taking place, to the ministry. I got to give God my finances. I got to say, God, you've given me so much. Let me now then give back to you, to your church, that you can continue to do amazing things in the community. I got to lift my hands. I got to worship. I'd have been Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, doing everything my boss tell me to do. I ain't gave him no lip. And Saturday roll around and I'm talking about why I think I'm going to sit this one out. May it never be. Father God, help us in the name of Jesus to love the things you love. That is Christian fellowship. May it be at the top of our priority list. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen. Amen. If you would, right where you're standing, bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, help the seed that went forth today. Help it to take root in my heart. And help it spring up, become a well springing forth. Let it be fire in my bones. I have to share with my brother and sister who is lost. There is a light that has come into this world. It can't be found in corporate America. It can't be found in planes, trains, and automobiles. It can't be found in hedonism. It can't be found in the great outdoors. It can't be found in sports. It can't be found in entertainment. It can't be found in the stars. It can't be found in the ground, but it can only be found at Calvary. Help us to speak truth. And help us not to affirm a lie. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And so you who have joined us on YouTube or however you get your podcast, let me say thank you. As the pastor of this church, it's not lost on me that you could have been anywhere this morning, and yet you've chosen to come and worship with us here at North Oaks Baptist Church. And I would like to ask you, the next time you're in Houston or the Spring area, why don't you come and worship with us in person? As a matter of fact, find me and shake my hand. I would like to welcome you into the life of this church. I love pastoring North Oaks Baptist Church because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God and Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen.